The closing market report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for March 25th, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, Cyprus's central bank appears to have avoided bankruptcy on a last-minute deal keeping that nation in the Eurozone. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, we'll hear from a former USDA chief economist on crop insurance and the nation's agricultural safety net. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Here are your last trades and settlements for this Monday afternoon. Last trades in Kansas City: May wheat, 7.59 1/4, down 2 1/4. July, 7.64 1/4, down 2 1/4. Settlements over in the wheat pit in Chicago: May there, 7.27 1/4, down 2 1/2. July, 7.29, down 1/4. Last trades in the corn pit: May corn, 7.32 3/4, up 6 1/2. July, 7.14 1/2, up 6. December, 5.71 1/2, up 6 1/4. Settlements for soybeans: May, 14.37 1/4, down 3 1/4. July, 14.17 1/2, down 1/2. November, 12.69, up 5 1/4. Settlements for soybean meal: the May contract, 4.1780, down 1.50. July, 4.13, down $1. Settlements also for soybean oil: May, 50.44, up a penny. July, 50.70, up 2 cents. April live cattle last trades: 126.45, up 1/4. March feeder cattle at 134.77 1/2 is up 12 1/2. And then April lean hogs, a last trade as well, 78.97 1/2, up 92 1/2. And those are your last trades and settlements.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Linner's weather highlights, he says that crop-damaging cold conditions occurred in a part of West Texas wheat country Sunday and this morning. No crop damage occurred to winter crops from the northern Texas panhandle, Colorado, and Nebraska to the heart of the Midwest, which was either snow-covered or has become snow-covered. There is still a risk to minor wheat production areas in the U.S. Delta and southeastern states due to hard freezes Tuesday and Wednesday morning. Long-term deep subsoil moisture and water supply in the U.S. Plains and western Corn Belt remains well below average despite recent precipitation. Additional precipitation is expected in the central U.S. Plains and Midwest beginning this Friday and continuing through April 3rd.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, Dave.
You know, we're looking at these ranges today. You have May corn up 7. You have May beans down 3.25. In today's marketplace, that would not have been thought of as much of a move. Not like when I was here 10 years ago and starting this job. That would have been a huge move then.
Yeah, I mean, recently we've seen them up 20 to down 20 and all that. But we did have a 13, 14-cent range in corn today, and we had a 15-cent range in beans. So it's not a bad range. And for the most part, corn was stayed up most of the day, and beans were just back and forth and closed mixed. Wheat actually closed on its high, right near its high at the end of the day after being down 5 to 6. It only had a 7-point range, but worries about the Thursday report, worries about the weather, and just light trade, I think, helping hold things from really going very far.
Well, let's look at a few particulars. When I came to work this morning and looked at the overnight electronic trade in the corn pit, the corn electronics, it was light bear spreading, which was an unusual feature, to be sure. And as the morning progressed, as you said, all to green. What was the big feature there?
I think probably people were taking money out of their old spreads where they'd made money just to get out ahead of the report, where they'd been long old crop and short new crop. And so you saw the opposite of that early. And I think there's just a lot of people squaring up ahead of Thursday, getting out of things so that they don't get ran over either direction by the Thursday report.
The other feature, I suppose, in the corn pit of note is to look at that December 13 contract. Settlement there is 572, the high 572.5, and that is actually the high for the move.
Yeah, that's as high as we've been on a close for ages, and that's it's amazing to do that at 572. We had 72.5 touched in the electronic, but 72 up 6.75, pretty good move up for this time of year.
Do you think the technicals are signaling, giving us any hint in that new crop corn about what we might then see on the Thursday quarterly grain stocks report?
I don't think so. I think it's more of a weather factor. We are behind in normal weather. We're cold, and we're going to stay cold for another couple of weeks. I think they're worried about the planting, whatever it comes out, intentions that they have on Thursday might not work because of too much cold weather, and that means less corn planted and more beans planted.
So less corn and more beans. I was kind of thinking along the lines that if we were seeing the quarterly grain stocks report reflect fewer old crop corn bushels than the trade has anticipated, they might have to further do some tighten the ending stocks already historically tight for corn, and that then might be reflected in new crop.
Well, I think the ending stocks would be on the old crop. They're talking stocks of under 5 billion, which would be a billion less than last year. So the stocks are tight, very tight on old crop. The question is, how much will new crop produce? And 150 bushel average on 98 million gives you almost a 2 billion carryout on new crop. So I think that stocks in all positions under 5 billion could push the old crop a lot higher. And that might help drag new crop with it some.
Turn your attention to the soybeans. What were the pertinent features there today?
Well, the soybeans early were up, and then they were down, and then they were up, and they just moved back and forth. I think new crop was nicely up 5 today. Old crop was down 3 to 5. I think they closed down 3.25 in the May. And again, China has kind of backed off of buying. South America is getting stuff sent out, and there's enough beans out of South America to fill the world if they can get them out there. We'll have a sale now and then when somebody needs one in a hurry. But I think that's the old crop problem. And new crop, it's still unknown, you know, how many acres and when we'll get them planted.
And then let's turn our attention to planting intentions and quarterly grain stocks for soybeans, anticipations out of Bates Commodities.
Oh, I think a million more acres planted, and I think the stocks, I just don't remember the number I had written down, and I've been looking for it since you got on the air with me, and I can't find it.
What have you been telling people today who've called in? Are people wanting to do any marketings or protect themselves to the downside, or what are people trying to figure out what to do?
I think right now people are just wanting to get out of whatever they had in, ahead of the report and wait to see what it says and then jump in afterwards. It was fairly light trade today, and I think the people that have their puts on or have hedged grain are happy where they're at, and the people that aren't are just getting out of wherever they're at and starting over the day of the report after the report.
Do you think there's going to be some heavy volatility on Thursday at 11 in the morning?
I think there'll be some, but it just depends on what the report says. If it comes out about as expected, I think we'll see what we've been seeing, a little higher, a little lower, back and forth, and then we'll trade weather, and I think the volatility will increase. Talked to ADM people today, and they said they thought the volatility would even increase more because of, are we going to have half of the drought or half a flood, or were we going to be on weather, and that's what's going to produce the new crop. The weather is much more important, five bushel less or five bushel more than the acres being a half million more or less.
So it could be that we actually see greater volatility when we come back after the three-day weekend and turn the machines back on than we do on Friday.
I think that could easily happen.
What else are you looking at today as important features? We were talking a little bit off the air about with other folk about the livestock side, and there was actually some strength in the live cattle pit today.
Yeah, we actually had a little strength, and the problem with the cattle pit right now is people are worried about the economy. When the price of meat gets high enough, people stop buying it, and it goes right back down. So that's been the drag on the meat market for the last month, probably.
And lean hogs had a nice move, too, and it's been a while.
Yeah, when lean hogs for the last couple of weeks, everybody thought we were going to make a low, and finally they were up here today after the first hour or two and stayed up, and that was just amazing after all those dead dog days down.
It was amazing. What else before we let you go today?
Expect volatility. Set traps for it in your plans. Don't worry about something five lower or five higher. Look at something 50 higher or 50 lower to set your traps.
All right, Pete, thank you very much.
Have a great one.
You too. That's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Have you had a chance to try this website yet? willag.org. There you'll find all of our audio analysis reporting on the markets from the USDA, agricultural weather, our tremendous blog, and news items as well. It's all at willag.org, willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, Cyprus's parliament president says a deal reached for his country to raise billions of dollars in order to qualify for an international bailout is a painful one and a defeat for European solidarity. The deal reached in Brussels early today prevented Cyprus's imminent financial meltdown by securing a last-minute $10 billion euro, that's $13 billion, bailout on the condition that the country cut back its banking sector and force large losses on big deposits to help pay for much of the bill. Negotiations ended with approval of the deal by the 17-nation Eurozone's finance ministers. The European Central Bank had threatened to cut off crucial emergency assistance to the country's banks by tomorrow if no agreement was reached. Without a bailout deal, Cyprus would have faced the prospect of bankruptcy, which could have forced it to become the first country to abandon the euro currency that would have sent the region's markets spinning. The measures are likely to deepen the recession in Cyprus. Cyprus must drastically shrink its banking sector, cut its budget, implement structural reforms, as well as privatize state assets. Japan's prime minister will discuss a possible free trade deal with the European Union. Japan has been eager to get started on talks with Europe. Japan and the EU account for about 30% of global economic output. Among the likely beneficiaries of free trade would be Japan's giant manufacturing exporters, such as Toyota Motor Company. The EU remains Japan's third largest destination for exports and Japan's second largest source of imports after China. In the continuing negotiations on a Trans-Pacific partnership, Canada says it is willing to work with the U.S. on issues where the two nations have common interests, but will promote its own issues where the approach differs. Canadian Trade Minister Ed Fast says in some areas where a TPP deal cannot produce a satisfactory result for Canada, Ottawa may seek a bilateral agreement with the United States instead. The latest results of the DTN, the Progressive Farmer Agriculture Confidence Index, suggests that farmers are feeling less optimistic about the ag economy than they did after last year's harvest. The Agricultural Confidence Index asks farmers to assess their farm's present situation and what they expect in 12 months. Farmers' assessment of their present situation came in at 135.3, a positive reading. Their expectations for the year ahead came in at 88.2. A firmly negative perspective, a value of 100, is considered neutral. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. During a recent forum on Capitol Hill during Ag Day, former USDA chief economist Keith Collins predicted that given the fiscal constraints facing the country, there may be a smaller farm safety net in the future, but one that further cements the importance of crop insurance.
The challenges facing American agriculture are changing. Changes in global markets, high production costs, and weather extremes have made risk management more important than ever. As a result, I think as we look toward possible future policy changes, we're going to see a greater evolution in the reliance on crop insurance in 2013.
Collins noted that you only have to look at the last few years to understand the importance of risk management on the farm. He noted that in 2011, we had a series of weather fluctuations, including floods, droughts, freezes, wildfires, and hurricanes. And then the country was hit in 2012 by the worst drought in decades.
Crop insurance has prevented lots of farm stress that would have occurred without it. As a result of that, farmers are paying their bills to their seed suppliers, their fertilizer dealers, their bankers, and to their landlords.
Collins added that crop insurance is a new hybrid of risk management tool whereby farmers collect an indemnity only if they incur a loss. That sets crop insurance apart from most other aspects of the farm safety net.
I think what's important to remember about crop insurance is that farmers pay a large premium. They also have a large deductible, and they don't get a thing if they have a good crop and don't have any losses. And I think that's what makes crop insurance the risk management tool of the future.
That's former USDA chief economist Keith Collins. You're listening listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey joining us now for our look at cash grain. Is Greg Johnson of the Andersons. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
So we had like 8 or 9 inches of snow fall on us today. The radio station and where you are about the same locale. How many trucks did you have come in today again?
We had a grand total of 0 today.
There's a big surprise.
Yes, yes. In fact, I think I'd want to check the guy that was out driving in weather like this if he didn't need to be.
Well, I think, like I was saying to you off air, if anybody actually showed up to unload, you should have gave him another dime or something.
Well, or done a sobriety test. I'm not sure which.
Maybe both. So, no trucks, so that means we're talking about the phones. What happened on the phones today?
Well, there was a little bit of selling, a little bit of old crop selling, you know, with this rally today. I think farmers do have a little bit of old crop corn left to sell, and with the report coming out Thursday, some of them just decided rather than take a chance on a friendly report, they just cash in some chips today and take a little bit of money off the table.
So $8 is not as attractive when you got an unknown on Thursday, huh?
Well, $8 is still attractive, but the flip side is, what if the report comes out not as friendly and, you know, eventually new crop corn looks like it's headed to $5. So, you know, if you wait too long, you may end up taking something closer to 5 than 8. So, you know, not that we can't make another run. I think that old crop report could be a little bit friendly, but you know, there's that risk and reward thing.
So you think it might be a friendly report for corn, huh?
Old crop corn especially,
yeah. Old crop corn, right?
Yes, I think the quarterly stocks number is going to be, you know, $5 billion or less. And
oh,
so
wow.
If it is, I mean, that should now, some of that's probably factored in already, but, you know, everybody's got an opinion, and half of them are thinking higher and half of them are thinking lower, and we'll find out what Uncle Sam thinks on Thursday.
Well, it'll be interesting because, to some degree, USDA painted itself in a little bit with the WASDE report last month adding 100,000 in the feed and residual category.
Exactly, exactly. So not that they can't come up with some other reason. There's other categories besides that one, so they can manipulate the numbers, I guess. But, you know, it'll certainly be a big report. I mean, I think this is a huge, huge report. It'll set the tone for quite some time, because after that, really all we have is weather to talk about. So as far as old crop corn is concerned, this quarterly stocks report is the defining report for the next month or so.
Speaking of which, by now, a year ago, we would have been planting.
Yeah, last year was awful early. I think that was a abnormality. You know, I think if we can get in the field in mid-April, you know, that's more typical. But you know, the way the weather forecast is shaping up, that's going to be a stretch. It's going to be tough to get in the field in, you know, at what we'd call an early or even a normal time. So it may be a late spring, but I don't know. I'm going to be optimistic and say an early spring last year didn't help us out very much. So maybe a late spring will be a better way to go about it this year.
Why don't we have your prices today then, please?
All right. We've got old crop corn at $7.59. That was up 7 cents today. New crop corn, $5.55, also up 7. Old crop beans, $14.58, down 3. New crop beans, $12.44, up 5. And the new wheat was $7.09, unchanged.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather with the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. It's National Lobster Newberg Day. The dish was perhaps invented by Ben Wenberg, a sea captain in the fruit trade between Cuba and New York. He first demonstrated the dish at Delmonico's restaurant in New York City, where the creation was added to the menu as lobster a la Wenberg. Months later, after an argument with Charles Delmonico, Wenberg was banished from the restaurant. And Delmonico flipped a few letters in Wenberg's name on the menu, Lobster Newberg was born.
It's also Pecan Day. In 1775, George Washington planted pecan trees, some of which still survive at Mount Vernon. The trees were supposedly a gift to Washington from Thomas Jefferson. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, William Keith Brooks was born, an American zoologist. He was a champion for the conservation of the Chesapeake Bay oyster. In 1867, Ferdinand Runge died. He was a German chemist who developed a method for obtaining sugar from beet juice. And in 1914, Norman Ernest Borlaug was born. He was one who laid the groundwork of the so-called Green Revolution, the agricultural technological advance that promised to alleviate world hunger. And he developed a wheat-rye hybrid with higher yield and protein content. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at agricultural weather is meteorologist John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, John.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Right now, I'm sitting here in wonderful Champaign, Illinois, with about 8 to 9 to 10 inches of snow on the ground, and it was wet before the snow arrived. I can't envision right now getting into the fields at least for 2 weeks.
It's going to be a while, I'll tell you. It's certainly a little different than a year ago when we had 2.5 weeks of 80-degree temperatures during the month of March. And the biggest problem and the culprit of all this is the overall pattern across North America, which continues to be dominated by a high-latitude blocking situation, and that is situated over northeast Canada and Greenland. And that is the feature that's producing, number one, the cold weather, which is actually encompassing most of the country, and also the active storm track, which is aligned right over the Central Plains and over the Midwest. As we look ahead into early April, there's no sign that this pattern is going to change, so it's more of the same over the next couple of weeks. Well below normal temperatures and wet conditions into the first week of April at least.
So short of you going out there with a hammer and a crowbar to unblock of it, what signs are you going to be looking for to let us know that the pattern might be changing?
Well, one of the things, there are numerous things that can alter that blocking situation over northeast Canada and Greenland. Sometimes the mechanism that changes it comes out of the tropics. Sometimes the mechanism that changes it is a realignment of the jet stream pattern across the northern hemisphere. There's numerous things that can alter or change the pattern here coming up. One of the things that we've seen here lately is that when we tend to get into very stable patterns, and this is true summer, this is true winter, this is true spring, that they tend to last for an extended period of time. And this is yet another one of these patterns that shows incredible persistence around the hemisphere. And, you know, it is locked into place at least for another couple of weeks. Our feeling is that sometime later in April, whether it's mid-month or late month, we will see some breakdown of the overall pattern. But for the time being, it's just more of the same here across the Midwest.
And does this pattern also hold true for some places out in the western Corn Belt, which really could actually still use some moisture?
Well, they've gotten good. They've gotten much better moisture here lately across those areas compared to what the situation was, you know, last year and into the winter months. So in areas such as Iowa and Minnesota and South Dakota and Nebraska, they've seen pretty big improvements in the situation out across those areas, and it looks like those areas will continue to improve based on the pattern.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, my pleasure, David.
That's John Davis at Chesapeake Energy, and he is in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to subscribe to our free Aggie newsletter. You can do that at willag.org. Use the link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.